Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the preaching of the word. We pray for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. I pray that each one of your children today would be blessed and strengthened by this word. Holy Spirit of God, reveal to us what's on the heart of the Father. We give you praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Right. I'm sure we're ready to hear the word. Hey. Are we ready to hear the word?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's see where we start this morning. Now, if you've been in South Africa, I'm sure like all of us here, we've been here for as long as our lives are. you can agree with me, things haven't been easy. Eh? You know, it has been an interesting season as a nation. A season where if you are not careful, you'll sign out emotionally. You'll become disconnected with what is going on in the nation. You know, there was a season where there was so much hope. I don't know about you, but I had lots of hope. I still have hope. But it was at its highest point somewhere during 2017. She's like, it was at its highest point in 2017, where there were things like Sierra 17 and things like that. Very hopeful. But right now, it's a different story. But I made a vow that I'll be praying for this nation and for the leadership of this nation every Thursday, and I'll continue doing that. But the reality is that life hasn't been easy for a lot of us. You see, we thought we were done with COVID. And lo and behold, we got introduced to load shedding of its worst kind. I mean, those who are in areas where you don't get load shedding, you will not understand the pain. I did not say anything about me, guys. So, those of you who are blessed and anointed enough to stay in areas that are not load shaded, you will not understand the pain that the nation is going through. You know, there's an African statement that says, you're crying having white bread under your armpit. Huh? You're crying with white bread under your armpit. What's wrong with you? But the truth is, it's not easy when you are hit by load shedding 3 times a day. How are you supposed to have a normal life? Hmm? How are you supposed to, if you are having a baby, to keep the baby's food and all of that good and fresh all the time? It's tough. You know, many families are struggling financially. And people are still trying to pick the pieces since COVID. And you find that a lot of families took a knock during COVID. For me and my family, it was a bit of a different one. We were at our highest point during COVID. Why? We just loved to be into each other's space. We just loved it. You know, my wife was saying, like, one of my highlights was during COVID. Why? Because I spent more time with you. I don't know about you, but during COVID, a lot of problems surfaced. People realized they're actually not as close as they thought they were. They realized that it was actually great when this guy was at work 8 hours a day. Because I'm facing him every single hour. He's in my space. He's sitting on the kitchen counter all the time. He doesn't clean after himself. Now we are debating who is doing dishes. Does somebody get me this morning? Now, maybe let me stop there because I don't want to depress you further. She gets me, right? Let me stop there. Now, this is the subject of my talk this morning on this Victory Sunday. I want to talk to you on the subject matter. Life is tough, but God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Life can be tough, but God is good. Amen. All the time. And all the time, you must have watched God's Not Dead 1. Life is tough, but God is good. Now, for a believer, this statement cannot end by simply acknowledging how horrible ESCOM is. As a believer, your life cannot stop by how tough it has been working with people at work. You know, that is the daily song in taxis when you go to work. That is the daily song when you are in Gautrain or at work on that water fountain. People are complaining about how bad the situation is. And you hear from time to time, this guy has immigrated to Australia. This guy has moved to Switzerland. If I can, I'd move to New Zealand. Or I'd move to Switzerland. Maybe God will speak one day. But as for now, yes. You see, for you and I, there must be a different ending to this story. For a believer, there must be an end that is better. Why am I saying this? There is hope, and that hope is anchored in the nature and character of God. You see, your hope is not anchored in your education level. Because more and more we hear medical doctors are without work, and yet our state hospitals have got no doctors. Something doesn't make sense. Chartered accountants are without jobs, and yet we are producing them in tons every year. And there was a time where some of these professionals were so awesome to be part of, but now we're thinking, man, do I really want to be a medical doctor? Now, you see, the end of this statement of life is tough is determined by the nature and the character of God. If you go to Psalms 27, verse 13, unfortunately, we don't have a projector today. I want to hear those pages going so that I know you are with me, or I know you are a true believer because you brought your Bible to church. Psalm 27, verse 13. The bigger your Bible, the greater your faith. The smaller your Bible, the smaller your faith. It's even worse if you've got an electronic Bible. It's a problem. I'm trying. I'll get there one day. Now, Psalms 27, verse 13, the Bible says, I would have fainted. I would have been discouraged. I would have lost hope. I would have committed suicide. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of Jehovah in the land of the living. Hope in Jehovah. Be of good courage, and he shall make your heart strong. Yes, hope in Jehovah. Saints, I feel sorry for those who don't have God like our God. Because where else will you find hope? In the middle of all of this catastrophe that we are facing, where else will you find hope? When you wake up every single morning, you hear bad report one after another. The writer of the psalm says, I would have thrown hands in the air. I would have run away from life had I not believed that one day I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. And this morning, this is the story of a believer. No believer is immune to load shedding. No believer is immune to the threats, the financial threats that we are all facing. But the difference is, when we face all of these issues, we remain hopeful. No matter how dire the situation is, the Lord will have the last say. It doesn't matter how long your situation might persist. If you are a child of God, your Father in heaven will have the last say. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. And that is a tricky thing. You've got to believe that morning will come. One day I'll see the sun rising up on the horizon. One day I'll wake up and put a smile on my face. Right now, I might be going through my darkest moments of my life, but I believe that one day I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. To understand what David was all about here, you need to read verse 12, in which he was asking God not to hand him over to his enemies. Have you ever felt like everything around you wants to chow you? Everybody around you has got an issue with you. Every call that you receive has got negative news. And you're like, Lord, please, not another bad call. Not another bad news, Lord. Can there be some fresh air somewhere? And David was crying out to the Lord, please do not allow those who are giving false report to have an upper hand over my life. Amen. He was under pressure from all sides. He was subjected to abuse to the point of fainting. But he says, yet I believe he is going to come. My help is coming. And this morning, I want to encourage you today to go back home and say, it doesn't matter how painful it is, my help is coming. I say, wait on the Lord, for he will come through for you. He will make a way for you. Glory be to God. The Israelites were in captivity for over 400 years, but the Lord still came. In Exodus chapter 3, God was talking to Moses. And he says, Bramo, or my son Mo, I have heard, I have seen, and I'm coming down. For you, the Lord is saying, I hear your pain. I'm seeing the suffering, and I will come down. Amen. The Bible says, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. Amen. You feel like you're missing out on life? And you're losing out, and everybody is running past you. In Joel chapter 2, the Lord says, I will restore to you the years that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmerworm, my northern army that I sent before you, I'll restore to you the years that you have lost. Some of you right now, you are experiencing a season of caterpillars in your life. Some of you are experiencing the years of restoration. Do not forget. Whatever season you're going through. You see, somehow David found some hope in knowing that there's a God in heaven. I just love this song the worship team led us to. That he is a good helper. When I call, he comes. Not because you are a powerful person, but because you are a weak person. When you call from a place of weakness, he says, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. When you understand that there's nothing wrong with being weak before God, you'll be able to cry out and really tell him how bad things have been. Amen. When I call, you come. Somehow David found hope. And this morning, my prayer for you, dig deeper into your heart and find some hope. Amen. To be able to declare and say, I believe that one day I'll see the goodness of the Lord. Amen. I believe that one day I'll be able to afford this. I believe that one day there will be joy in my house. I believe that one day I'll be able to go full month without going into overdraft in the name of Jesus. Woo. Psalms 31 verse 19. How great. Yes, let me hear those pages. Psalms 31 verse 19. If you don't know where Psalms is, go to the index. You'll find the page number. Probably. That's wisdom. Work smart. Don't work hard. The index is there for you. It's not for the dumb people. It's for the wise people. Can I get an amen for that? Psalm 31 verse 19. The Bible says, how great is your goodness. Wow. How great is your goodness which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have bestowed before the sons of man on those who take refuge in you. This is awesome. And probably the best news every child of God needs to hear in our current environment, that how great is your goodness you have laid up or you have stored up for those that fear you. You see, saints, there is a treasure of good things which has your name on it. It has my name on it. It has my family's name on it. It has my son's name on it. It has my daughter's name on it. And when time has come, that will be released. And it has his address. Whether he's playing for Manchester United one day or wherever he's going to be, it will locate him. Amen. Does somebody hear me this morning? There's a treasure of blessings with your name on it. It will locate you. And I pray this morning that whatever storage that God has for you may be released in the name of Jesus. For some of you, it might not be the answer to the prayer. For some of you, it's a storage of grace to hold on. For some of you, it's just the ability to hold on just one more day, just one more month. And heaven is rooting on you and saying, go, 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 go. Do not stop because the end is nigh. Glory be to God. There's a treasure of good things with your name on it. There's a treasure of good things with my name. Daniel prayed, and an answer was released. And for 21 days, the answer did not come. It was coming to Daniel. He knew where Daniel was, but there was a battle in this spiritual realm. That is why you and I cannot afford to be asleep in the spirit in our moment of waiting. The enemy wants you to just wait and be passive and just say, it's going to happen. Whenever it happens, it will happen. Yeah. You must fight in the spirit. The Bible says, when the answer eventually came to Daniel, he was told, from the day you sought the face of God, an answer was released. But I could not come through because I faced battles in the spiritual realm. Until the archangel Michael was deployed and he helped me to overcome the prince of Persia. I don't know the princes operating in this place. Maybe it's Zulu princes. I don't know. Maybe it's Shembe princes. But there are princes that are hellbound at stopping you from receiving your answer. Amen. That is why the Bible says, awake those who are sleeping amongst you. Yes. The longer we sleep, saints, the longer it's going to take for certain things. Not because heaven hasn't answered, but because balala ulele. Come on, huh? Does somebody hear me this morning? God help us. Let's dig deeper in our spirit, man. Let's dig deeper until the breakthrough comes. So it's not that simple. The reality is that many Christians find it hard to believe and to internalize that there's something good waiting to happen in my life. Many believers struggle with that concept. And the question is, why is it that way? That we struggle to believe that there's a good God who wants to do us good. If I can just peel your heart, I'm sure this conversation is going on in some of our hearts. And say, if God was really good, how come? How come he allowed this to happen? If God was really a good God, How come I've been praying for 6 years, this thing remains there? If God was really a good God, how come I haven't been promoted? The reason we struggle to believe God is because we have a wrong concept of God. People have the wrong concept of God because, number one, they've heard abusive authority figures in their lives. You've heard an abusive father, or an abusive teacher, or an abusive aunt, a person of authority who abused you, and for that reason, you project that behavior to Father God. And you see God as this horrible God. You might not put it in those words, but the behavior we portray says that. I don't know what has been your story. Have you been through an abusive relationship? Were you abused when you were young, as a baby, as a child? And because of that, the Lord's prayer for you, you cringe whenever you prayed. When they say, Abba, Father, or Our Father who art in heaven, you can't really picture Our Father, because whenever you see the picture of Father, you see an angry Father. Because Dad was always angry. You project the same emotion to Father God. Another reason why we have a wrong concept of God is because we have attributed bad things to God. Accidents happen. People die. People lose jobs. And in your mind, you say, this must have been the act of God. God allowed this. God is punishing me. God has done this in my life. And because of that, you cannot reconcile the God who allowed your child to die with the God who says, I love you. Yeah. Am I getting home? Am I striking home this morning? As a child, you keep on blaming yourself that maybe the reason why my parents separated and they divorced, it is because of me. It's because God is punishing me. I wasn't behaving well as a child. It becomes a problem. Another thing, you think that, you know, you've been taught about a God who has so high standards that you cannot attain them. You know, when you feel like, man, God's standards are so high, why even try? Why even bother trying to reach this God who is so high and lofty somewhere there? There is no way I can attain to His standards. Now, I need you to know this morning that God's heart is pained every time we ascribe negativity with Him. God's heart is pained. Just like a parent is pained when a child says nasty things towards them. Because the mom looks back and like, I've done so much for this child. I have provided. Is this how he says thank you? You see, I want you to realize that the way you view God determines how and what you will receive from Him. The way you see God will determine how and what you receive from Him. It will determine your level of expectation. So if you see God as a hard taskmaster, you will not expect tenderness from Him. You expect Him to beat you up in order to bring you back in line. In fact, after you messed up last night, you expect something bad to happen because you said that is how God treats me, to correct me. God help us. That's not the heart of God for us. You see, how do some believers think of God? Many people fail to access God's goodness because of how they see and think of God. How do some of us think of God? Number one, thinking that God is angry with you because of your sin. Have you been to that place where the week hasn't gone as great as you wanted it to be? And the enemy comes and he tells you, because you were a naughty boy, God is angry with you. And this is a lie of the devil to keep you away from God's goodness. Remember, we're saying life is tough, but God is good. That must be our default setting. You know, systems have got a default setting. We must always default to the fact that God is good. Yes, sin hurts God, but I want you to know that God deals with us in a loving and kind way, regardless of our sins. Our sins do hurt him. But what he does, he woos us in through the Holy Spirit. When you read in John 16, the Bible says, when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will convict believers unto righteousness. He will convict the world of sin. And he will convict the devil of judgment. Read properly that John 16. When the Holy Spirit comes, he convicts us of righteousness. So what God does, he shines his holiness on us. And we say, ooh, I missed it. Lord, have mercy on me. And this morning, I want you to understand the heart of God. Psalms 103, verse 9 to 12. Psalms 103, verse 9 to 12. Are you one of those people who are thinking that God is angry with you because of your sin? Psalm 103, verse 9. The Bible says, he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Note this. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. If you are like one of the great eights who are doing geography, you'll understand how the globe works, how the earth works. You see, the earth is tilting on its axis and it rotates around its axis and then it rotates around the sun. So you have what we call the North Pole and the South Pole. You are able to get to the North Pole. You can get to the South Pole, but you can never get to East or to West. Do you understand what I'm talking about? When God says he has separated you from your sins as far as is east from west, you're going round and round. Tell me when you get to east. Tell me when you get to west. You're not going to get there. That is how far God separates you from your sins. You see, I actually think some of us are more righteous than God. In the sense that when God says, Captain, I have forgiven you. And you say, me? I can't be forgiven. That was bad. That was horrible. Man, I did not make the bed today. That was bad. I'm going to just cut myself. I need to punish myself. I need to hurt myself so that I feel like, yes, I'm now forgiven. Are we being more righteous than God in the way that we deal with sin? The Bible says, come, let us reason together. Even though your sins are as red as scarlet, Isaiah 1:18, I'll make them to be as white as snow. Even though they're as red as crimson, I'll make them to be as white as wool. That is the type of God we serve. Why are you holding on to those issues? Thinking that God is angry. You can never expect good things from an angry parent. You can never expect good things from an angry God. That is why, as parents, in our moments of disciplining our children, we should still show them love. Your boy needs to know he messed up and he has been grounded and he will not watch TV for 3 weeks. You still need to take him out for lunch. You still need to play soccer with him. So that he understands that even though Papa, Mama is angry with me, but they don't withhold love from me. You are painting the image of God in their minds. They will know that even if I've messed up, I can run back to God. Ooh, does somebody hear me this morning? Another issue, thinking that God only has good plans for others and not me. Have you ever felt like that? Where you feel like, man, everybody seems to be doing okay. I'm the only one who's being load shedded. I'm the only one who's being love shedded. There's no love coming my way. Financial shedding. I think we need to just coin this thing here. Like, are you under financial shedding? What's going on in your life? What stage are you on? Stage? Are you on stage 2? We're not preparing for stage 16. Oh God, deliver us from financial shedding. We can't. No. Now, thinking that God only has good plans for others and not you. You see, if you have experienced failure one too many times, you can start thinking that God's goodness is reserved for others and not you. Now, please do not be that person who has been conditioned to readily receive disaster more than receiving success. When you start your week, you are ready to receive bad news more than you are ready to receive good news. I want to say to you this morning, the Bible says, be it unto you according to your faith. When you expect bad things, you are creating an environment where demons bring bad things. But when you expect good things, you are creating an environment where the Holy Spirit will bring forth the goodness of God in your life. Psalm 100 verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his loving devotion endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations, and that includes you. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is awesome. When you are with God, you can say, LG, life is good. Amen. You didn't know that, right? LG, life is good. You see, God knows you by name. I don't want to go to a God who, when I pray, he says, oh, remind me again, what's your name? I don't want that God. The type of God we serve knows us by name. So when you approach him, he gives you undivided attention. He will never tell you, sorry, the number you have called is busy. Have you ever called F&B? 17 minutes. Your call is important to us. Please do not drop. Yeah, man. If it's important, you'd have answered. We're experiencing a high volume of calls. That's not the type of God we serve. When you call, he answers. Hallelujah. When you call that 333 number, he answers. Not this whole nonsense. Your call has been put in the queue and you are number 22. Like, huh? I'm going to wait for how many minutes? God knows you by name. May this revelation be so true in our hearts that when we pray, he answers. You see, God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He ordained a path for you. And therefore, there is goodness stored up for you. Not just for your neighbor down the road. Psalms 139, verse 16 to 17. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Oh, how precious are your thoughts about me. Oh God, they cannot be numbered. Can you have that revelation today? You see, when it comes to the kingdom of God, there are no name brands. Everybody is branded. Glory be to God. You have a brand before God because you matter. They might forget your name, but God knows you by name. I had two more points, but I'm going to stop there. I don't want to lose your concentration. I don't know what has been your journey this morning, but I want you to know that you matter before God. When God looks at you, it's a personal matter. You see, if you don't want to be personal with me, touch my wife. I might not be buff like John Cena. But the day you touch my wife, something rises within me. And you won't even know what has hit you. You guys know John Cena? Or I want to be as strong as Serena Williams. What am I saying this morning? God loves us. You know, that's why the Bible says in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. I pray for you as you start your week. May your faith be kickstarted. May you believe in the goodness of God. Confess His goodness when you rise up in the morning and say, today I will see the goodness of the Lord. If you don't see it on Monday, say, Lord, I thank you that tomorrow I will see your goodness. Yeah. Tuesday comes, you might not see it. I'm not moving until I see your goodness in the land of the living, and heaven will come down. Amen. The Bible says Jesus told them to be persistent in prayer. He spoke about a woman who went to a judge who did not fear man or God. And she kept on saying, vindicate me, judge. Vindicate me. This guy here is troubling me. Vindicate me. And this man says, ooh, I have to do something. This go-go is going to drive me nuts. Though I don't fear God, nor consider men, but hey, I'll have to do something. And the Bible says, will God not speedily vindicate those who call upon him?